If you have your Bible with you this morning, you can take it and turn to the book of Mark, chapter 10. We'll be looking at the book of Mark here in just a moment. Today we're emphasizing our children, and this morning's message is going to be about children's ministry. So as we begin the message, I'm going to ask you not to just tune me out because you're thinking, well, I don't do children's ministry, I don't have children, I don't like children, whatever. Don't tune me out this morning. I believe that God may have something for each of us this morning as we look into His Word. When it comes to children's ministry, there are a couple of extremes, and there are extremes. There are some who think that we should have absolutely no ministry for children whatsoever. Everything should be done in the context of one group or body. And then there are the others who think that we should have children separated for everything that we do, and that children are never part of the bigger picture. I happen to be an advocate. I believe in children's and youth ministry. Obviously, I'm a youth pastor, so I'm going to advocate for youth ministry. I think these things are important, but they're important when they're part of the larger body of the church. I do have hesitations when we take children's ministry and it's totally separate from the church. Working with students and college students, I've noticed there's a trend among some of my students that they grow up in church and they're in the nursery, and then they go from the nursery and then they go off to children's activities, and then they grow up through children's activities and they have special worship services for children, and then they become teenagers and they have special things for teenagers, and then they go to college and they go to college ministries, and then they graduate college and they get jobs and they have careers and they get married and they have no idea how to function in church because they've never been a part of the church. They've always been in segregated ministries. And so I do see the struggle in that. But I do think that ministry, children's ministry, has an important part in our church if it's done right and if it's part of a greater part of the church. We're going to read a passage this morning. And as we read this passage, this isn't a book of Mark. This isn't a proof text for children's ministry. So I don't want anybody to leave here and say that I use this passage to prove that we should have children's ministry, because that's not a proof text. But I do think we can gather some things from this passage that we can apply as we minister to children. So in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, it says this: "And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, 'Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all.' And he took them in his arms, began blessing them, laying his hands on them." It says they brought children to Jesus. Who were they? Well, they were mothers. They were fathers. They were older siblings that brought children to Jesus. They were friends. But they were bringing children to Jesus, looking for the opportunity to just have Jesus touch them. They knew that if they could just have an encounter with Jesus, if Jesus would just touch them, that there would be a blessing and they would receive something from Jesus. There was an expectation. In our church, when we bring children to Jesus, there should be an expectation that they're going to get something from this relationship with Jesus, that they're going to accomplish something, not just to come to have a great time and do some games and have a fun time in church, but there's an expectation that they're going to encounter and meet with Jesus. You know, as a church, we do value our children. We love our children. We care about our children. We want our children to be around. But we're not just bringing our children here for not any purpose, but we're bringing our children here because we know that there's this God who loves them, and there's a Jesus who died for them, and has a desire to have a relationship with them, and we're pointing people to do that. Now, we have all different kinds of programs in our church to help do that, right? We have Vacation Bible School, and we have children that come here, and if you show up here about the second week of June, there are going to be a bunch of children filling your spots in these pews, and they're having a great time. And I have had kids that come to my college ministry years later, and they'll say, "You know, I remember when I used to go to VBS at Boyd Avenue," and that's a cool thing, and that's their connection to church is through Vacation Bible School. We have our Wednesday night program. We have SWAT, and that's a great program where we walk the children. If they come all through their childhood, all the way through SWAT, they will walk through the major stories of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and they'll get a big picture of the Bible. And we offer that in SWAT. We have Sunday school programs, and that's an opportunity to bring kids to meet Jesus. But children's ministry just isn't about coming to the church to get ministry. You know where else your kids can have an opportunity to meet Jesus? At your dining room table, sitting together with a family. Another place that your children can meet Jesus is in your yard, in your front yard, as you play together, as you spend time together. My three oldest kids all accepted Christ in different avenues. My first kid that accepted Christ, he was in my office in my house. It's now a pantry, but at the time it was an office. And we were driving back from a church softball game of all places and having a conversation. The conversation continued in our home, and we sat together in our home, and this child prayed to receive Christ. Another one of my children prayed to receive Christ at children's camp up on the mountain. I wasn't even present, wasn't around at all, and she was with somebody else, and we had all kinds of conversations. And I joked with her, and I said, "Why did you do it without me?" And she says, "Because I didn't want to change my mind." I said, "Good deal." Another one of my children accepted Christ, did it right in the back of this church on a Good Friday service in a corporate worship time. Sat in the back of the church and was crying after the service and says, "Why did God do that for us?" And all different opportunities, different avenues of doing children's ministry. See, our children's ministry just isn't about bringing people here, but it's about ministering to people where they are. And taking ministry, not just in the building, but taking ministry out. So I'm going to share an example of that. So we have this Easter egg hunt. Easter's coming up in a few weeks. And every year we do this Easter egg hunt. And for years and years and years, our church has done this. And I've noticed that over the past few years, our attendance has keep dwindling, and not as many kids are coming. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I think a big reason is because right now there's all different kinds of people doing big Easter egg hunts all over the place, and there's lots of different things to take their attention. And if you come to this Easter egg hunt, my teenagers, they will stuff eggs, and they'll spend this time, and we make about 1,500 to 2,000 eggs, and we put them all over. This church right here is covered in eggs, and about 3.5 seconds later, they're gone. Okay, I'm only exaggerating a little bit. And it's a fun time, but I began to ask myself the question, is it really meeting a need? So I have shared this with a couple of people, and I'm going to share this openly with you. I have an idea, and I want some feedback from my idea, not during the sermon, but sometime later. This year, I'm going to request that we take the Easter egg hunt out of our church, and we take it to your houses. Our teenagers will still stuff the eggs. We'll still put that time in. We'll take them to your neighborhood, to your house, your yard, a park near you. We'll hide them, and you invite your neighbors to come to an Easter egg hunt. And you take the time to get to know the people that are there, and you invite the children to come, and we'll do an Easter egg hunt in your neighborhood. And we won't just do one with 2,000 eggs all in one place, but we can do four or five in different communities throughout Casper. If you don't have children, and you have children in your neighborhood, you can still host one of these. And so if you think this is a good idea, then see me and see how we can be involved in that. If you think it's a bad idea, then don't talk to me at all about it, and we won't worry about it. But I really do think that we have gotten in a mindset where we think that children's ministry or any kind of ministry is about what the church offers. And I think we have to change that mindset. How do we build real ministry that reaches out from what we do? How do we build ministry that teaches and impacts not just the children, but people involved in our ministry? So we have to make an effort to teach them truly about God's love and how God loves people. See, one of the common complaints about children's ministry and about youth ministry is there's no substance to it. That the kids just come, they don't do anything. And that's not true of our ministries in our church. And if you're involved in those, you'll see they're not true. But it's fair to say that, because there's a lot of ministries there's not a lot of depth to. We need to point people to Jesus, and it must be intentional as we do it. Research has shown over and over again that a person's best opportunity, they're most likely to come to a relationship with Christ when they're a child. The older they get, the less likely people are to accept Christ as their Savior. It's absolutely a truth. And so we have to understand the importance of reaching children at that age with the gospel. Research also shows that children who accept Christ when they're young and they stay active in church tend to walk with God along their life. They're more likely, if they're connected to a family that comes to church and they come to church as a family and they grow, that they're not going to walk away because they understand the consequences of sin and they see that. I visit with people sometimes about their testimony. And I have Oftentimes people tell me my testimony is not very good. And I said, well, share me with your testimony. Well, there's nothing to it. I accepted Christ when I was little. Always went to church. Never really did anything wrong. I'm still in church. I'm just following Jesus. How boring is my testimony? I'm like, your testimony is awesome. I wish that were my testimony. What greater testimony than to say God has been faithful to you and you've been faithful to God for your whole life? Opportunities to walk with Jesus. And you know why else we do children's ministry? Because it is fun. Right? It's okay to have fun. You know who created fun? God created fun. It's okay to laugh. I often joke with my teenagers, we'll be doing something and they'll be laughing and I'll say, stop, we're in church. This isn't fun. Okay? God created fun. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to do things like that. We need to make children a priority. In verse 14, it says, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. See, we work together to meet, reach and minister to children. They are a priority, and we can't become an obstacle, intentional or unintentional, to the ministry of children. Children's ministry works alongside families, and they work together to bring children to Christ. Church ministry should be an ally to the family. They shouldn't be an adversary to the family. They come together to reach these children. Children's ministry should support godly parenting. It was never the intention that the exclusive faith teachers of a child should be the church. That was never the intention. The family needs to be involved, should be involved. But unfortunately, we live in a world where there are a lot of children whose families aren't going to be the faith teachers. It's not going to happen. There are kids whose parents don't come. They aren't people of faith. They don't have a relationship. And so we have to give opportunities for these children to come and have a place where they can connect and they can hear. And we also need to come alongside our godly families and encourage and to assist and to pray for them as they minister to their children. Children's ministry helps nudge some parents into some more faithful attendance in church. Sometimes parents become, they become involved in church because their children are involved in church. And so the children who get them involved. Unintentionally, and I'll say this unintentionally because I don't want to be mean, but unintentionally, sometimes we as parents, we hinder our own children's involvement because we schedule other things and say these things are more important than church. We may not say that out loud, but sometimes we give the impression that, church stuff is secondary to other things. And I'm going to tell you, our children watch us. Whether you have children, whether you don't have children, they watch. And they're going to model their faith based on what they see. And if our children see that church is important to us, they see that a relationship with Jesus is important to us, then it's something they're going to model and they're going to exemplify and they're going to see it in their lives as well. They see it and they're going to do it. We must model for our children, whether we have children or whether we're just here in the church, we model the children what it looks like to worship. Look, if we're singing and we're praising, the kids around us are looking and they're going to worship and they're going to sing too. If we're not, then they're not. If we complain about the church, then the kids are going to complain about the church. If we don't, they don't. We model it to our children. Children's ministry provides families with meaningful shared experiences. Some of the most great conversations we have as a family is sitting around our dinner table on Sundays and sharing about what we learned in church and talking about these things. Taking the time as our children are involved in ministry, don't just send them to a ministry and say, hey, they're in Sunday school, they're in VBS. But if you can, if you have time, join them. Be involved in Vacation Bible School. Share that ministry with them. Go on a mission trip with your family. Enjoy the experience with them. See, we sometimes compartmentalize things and we say, okay, they're doing this and we're going to do this. Let's do some things together and minister together and provide those meaningful experiences. And it helps bring, children's ministry helps bring new families to the church. The truth is that when people come to church and they're looking for a church, if they have kids, they're looking for something for their children. Sometimes you have people that are seeking, and maybe they're not involved in church, but when they come, they want to see that their children are important, and we give them opportunity to do that. We need to keep things in perspective as we minister to children. Children's ministry is messy. Children are messy. If you don't believe me, in about a half an hour, come back in this auditorium and walk around. and you'll see Smarty wrappers, sucker sticks. You'll see children's bulletins laying around. You'll see offering envelopes with all kinds of cool pictures drawn on them. And they will be everywhere in the church. Children are messy. When they get to be teenagers, they're messier. Come to my house at 7:30 tonight after the kids have eaten. And you'll see pop cans laying around. And you'll see plates laying around. Because somehow that garbage can they walk past, they never think to put something in it. Right? I mean, they're messy. And if we're going to do children's ministry, we're going to understand that it's going to be messy. Hey, kids are loud. Okay? Kids are going to run in church. I don't know what it is about a church building, but when kids enter this building, they immediately think, I need to run. Right? And then not only do I need to run, they got to run up here. And as they're doing that, mothers are mortified. And they're like, my children, and they're upset. And I laugh and I say, you know what? My boys, I kind of tease my boys, and I see little 3- and 4- and 5-year-old boys running around. I say, when my boys were that age, they never ran in church. And it's true because I adopted my boys when they were older than that. Right? When they were that age, they probably would have run around the church. Right? They're going to do that. Kids are going to break things. If you have children in ministry, you have children in church, things are going to get broken. There was a hole in the fellowship hall wall. We'll fix it. A few years ago, we had a couple girls running through here crazy on a Wednesday night, and one of them ran through the double doors over here and put her hand on the window, and she ran through it, and glass everywhere. Didn't cut her hand. She was scared to death that she was going to be in all kinds of trouble. We picked up the glass. We swept it up, threw the trash can. The girl's family didn't come to church. Even if they did, what does it matter? Stuff's going to get broken. If you're going to have children in your church, things are going to get broken. It's going to happen. It's the way that it is. Right? We have a choice. You can have a quiet, clean church, or you can have kids. Right? It's not going to be both. Right? Those of you who have had young children, your houses are kind of like that too, right? You can have a clean house, or you can have children, because they're messy and they do these things. And we train them and we teach them and we walk life through them, but we want these children in our church. We understand that having children in our church is good for the church. Right? And the church is good for our children. And we want them to be together. Some of the things we see in children's ministries to keep it in perspective is it does provide opportunities for ministry. One of the great things for my kids living so far away from family is that they have all kinds of grandparents in our church. So many people they call grandma and grandpa, and they have these relationships. And we have the opportunity to be spiritual grandparents, spiritual parents to children. A great opportunity for ministry. Volunteers in ministry have a place where they can connect. One of the complaints people have in church is they have a hard time connecting and finding a place where they belong. One of the benefits of having ministries like children's ministry is you have a group of people who have a shared experience and they connect together. And as they connect together, they form relationships and they grow together. And that's a benefit of having ministries like that. Children's ministry gives people that have the gift of teaching another place where they can use their gift. It allows those who have artistic abilities a place to share and use artistic abilities in a church setting. It gives places where those that have musically giftedness to be able to use their music in other places besides singing in a choir on a praise team as they minister to children. It allows others, people who sew, people who cook, different gifts, different talents that we have to find a way to be used in the bigger picture of how God is working in a church. And children's ministry offers these things. And the last thing we see in this passage is that we have the opportunity to learn from children. Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. And he who took them in his arms began blessing them, laying his hands on them." The faith of a child. Several years ago when my girls were real little, we were at Thermopolis in the hot springs at one of the pools there. And I had taken, Abby was young enough that I took her down the slide with me. And we go down the slide and we get to the bottom and I set her over on the side as I went over to wait for Elizabeth to come down the slide. And next thing I hear a splash and I look over and Abby had jumped in the water. And she is sunk to the bottom, and I run over, and I quickly grab her, and I got her on one arm, and I set her back up, and I get over just in time to grab Elizabeth coming down, and I look over, and Abby is laughing like crazy. And I start to laugh, and I said, "Abby, you're not funny." And she says, "Then why are you laughing?" The faith of a child. See, there was no question in Abby's mind when she jumped into the water that I was going to save her. In fact, I don't even think she thought she needed saved. She was just going to jump in the water and it was going to be fun. But she knew it was going to be okay because she had that faith. And we laugh together and we still joke about this many, many, many years later. But when we look around our children and we see our children, it helps us remember to have that childlike faith. Have you ever sat with your children or sat with a child and you had a conversation with them? You can learn so many interesting things. I mean, take children's message, right? Lots of things you learn just by asking questions and talking to your children and having these conversations. And those who work with children, you see this, you learn because you're teaching, but you also learn as you see the world through the eyes of a child. And you see Jesus through the eyes of a child. So much to learn, so much to glean as we have these conversations. Experiencing the love of Jesus through the eyes of a child. Having children present in our church reminds us that we were made in the image of God. You see the innocence. You see the excitement. You see the glean in our eyes of a child. And it reminds us just how good our God is and how God has created us. And having these children in our church gives us real life examples of what it means to have a childlike faith. And we can't have that without children in our church. And children's ministries gives us the opportunity to invest in these kids. See, in a perfect world, we wouldn't need children's ministries. In a perfect world, we have families who love Jesus. And we have intact families who love Jesus. And we have these families who bring their kids to church with them. And they're heavily involved in their lives. And they go through and they grow. And unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a world where we have to come together as a body of Christ and minister to the needs of the children around us. That's where we are. And we have to ask, how do we do that? As we had this message this morning, some of us may be thinking, this really doesn't apply much to me. But I'm going to challenge you to think that I think this has an application to each one of us. See, children's ministry is connected to the whole church. One of the things I love is I love after church watching some of these little kids run up to some of our adults and give them hugs. They have it connected to people in our church. How can we be involved? If you like to teach and you like children, then maybe finding a place to teach is a place for you to be involved. Being involved in teaching in one of our organizations, one of the things we already have, of doing something different, maybe teaching is a place. I promise you that if you are a gifted teacher and you love children, there is likely a place for you to teach someplace in our church. And some of our people looking for teachers are nodding at me as I'm saying that. If you love music, there's a place to use music to minister to children. If you love crafts or cooking, if you like to organize things, we need people who can organize. But here's something that everybody can do. We can be encouragers. Let's encourage our children. Let's encourage those who work with our children. There are people in our church that every Wednesday night they feel like they miss out on other things, but they love our children, and they're downstairs teaching every single week. Just taking the time to say thank you and that we appreciate what they do. We appreciate the time. Pray for them. Pray for those who are working with our children and pray for our children. There's not one of us here this morning that can't pray. There's not one of us here this morning that can't make it a priority to pray for the children and the ministries of our church. But I'm going to ask you this morning to just listen to the voice of God and what God may be saying to you and how you may respond to his message this morning. Maybe it's nothing that I talked about. Maybe God's saying something totally different to you. But you respond to God as he speaks to you.